98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com presents the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey. Special thanks to our sponsors, Skyline Health and Delcarpine Automotive. Now, here's Mark Bailey.
And he was out of Louisville, Kentucky. Far greater, obviously, today than they were in the early 60s. But then, of course, boxing was very lucrative at the time. And goodness, he became the most famous athlete in the world. Probably between him and Pele, that's probably the two big contenders. And I think Ali probably wins it. 1986, President Ferdinand Marcos fled the Philippines after 20 years of rule in the wake of a tainted election. Opposition leader Corazon Aquino, the first woman to lead the country, assumed the presidency. 1991, during the Persian Gulf War, 28 American soldiers were killed when an Iraqi Scud missile hit a U.S. barracks in Dhahran, Saudi Arabia. 1994, American-born Jewish settler Barak Goldstein opened fire with an automatic rifle inside the Tomb of the Patriarchs in the West Bank during the Islamic holy month of Ramadan, killing 29 Muslims before he was beaten to death by worshippers. In 1997, a jury in Media, Pennsylvania, convicted Chemical Fortune heir John E. DuPont of third-degree murder, deciding he was mentally ill when he shot and killed world-class wrestler David Schultz. DuPont died in prison in December 2010 while serving a 13 to 30-year sentence. He was 72. U.S. health officials in 2020 warned that the coronavirus was certain to spread more widely in the U.S. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention urged Americans to be prepared. President Donald Trump, speaking in India, said the virus was very well under control in the United States. Days for today. It's Let's All Eat Right Day today, which I should do better with, most certainly. Yesterday would not have qualified for that for me. I was not doing that well in that regard. And I had some very good tacos. I didn't get them fast food style. Those are probably reasonable for me. I did eat fast food for dinner on the way to the basketball game, and that probably wasn't a good idea. It is Inconvenience Yourself Day today, and by that, that's about taking the time to help others, even if it's necessarily convenient for you to do so. It's also, and I think this is important, though we really can't observe it on this show because when you hear what it is, it clearly will not work on radio. It's Quiet Day today. I think we all like at some point to get away from everything and just go someplace peaceful and quiet. You're not being assaulted by stimulus, which is hard to do in this day and age. So at some point today, I'll celebrate Quiet Day. I just can't do it on this show. Our food today, it's National Clam Chowder Day today. A lot of people, of course, will have famous clam chowder. Moe's on the coast has great clam chowder down the Newport area. Newport and Florence. Ivor's up in Seattle, the fish bar. They also like to tout their clam chowder. There are others as well. And it is National Chocolate-Covered Peanuts Day today. Which I imagine peanut M&Ms will count, even though it's got the candy coating on it, but that's basically chocolate covering peanuts. That's not too bad. My grandfather always had a bowl of, it wasn't chocolate-covered peanuts, but a bowl of M&Ms mixed with Planters salted peanuts. Rather than do the M&M peanut, he did the separation. But there it is for what it's worth, which may or may not be a whole lot. It is 8:12 in the morning. We'll talk Washington legislature next.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-555-1509. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-555-1509. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-555-1509. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-555-1509 or biglou.com.
Dear Winter, Toyota can't get enough of you. Because Toyota's got 25 vehicles with available all-wheel drive and four-wheel drive. And that's more than any other auto brand. From the versatile RAV4 to the svelte Crown, the sleek Camry all-wheel drive, the Corolla hybrid all-wheel drive, the rugged Tacoma, the tenacious Tundra, and the spacious Grand Highlander with all-wheel drive to keep you and yours safe. Hey, you bring the action, we'll bring the traction. Toyota, let's go places. Based on manufacturers' websites as of 10-2025.
Hi, I'm Jackie from Hawks Ridge Assisted Living. As a new year begins, it's a natural time to think about comfort, care, and the next step for those you love. We currently have availability, including two spacious one-bedroom apartments and one beautiful studio apartment. Located in the outdoor paradise of Hood River, Hawks Ridge offers four levels of assisted living care that support independence while providing peace of mind. We'd love to welcome your friends, clients, or loved ones home. Hawks Ridge, your new home in the new year.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
It is 8:15 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. Kevin Waters, Washington State 17th District Representative, is going to join us now. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Mark. How you doing?
All right, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. It's another beautiful morning up here in Olympia. It's clear and cold and a little sun, and it's a good way to go into the last couple weeks here session.
So for you, what are your priorities over the final couple weeks?
I think, you know, honestly, my priorities are learning what the, just jump right in, what the millionaire's tax is and what it's going to do. There's been a lot of talk about it. I'm being told that this is nothing new. About every 10, 12 years, these folks think that they can run the bill and do it. But, you know, I think the state is at a little bit different time than it's ever been, and maybe everybody's ever said that that's been here. But, you know, the budget is ballooned 3-4 times in the last 15, 20 years. I think they are realizing that their tax system really hurts working people. I just am curious what their solutions are going to be, you know, and so to me, and I genuinely mean that because we've had so much tax work done in the last year. Our head is on a swivel of what is happening in terms of use tax, land tax. We just did a big bill on data centers, specifically over in Eastern Washington. We had a tax shift bill that takes off solar facilities, green energy facilities that help counties like Clickitat County primarily make it to where the tax property tax burden isn't on the citizens there. It's more on the actual company themselves and the state who prioritize placing them there. So, you know, it's what is this going to do? And, yeah, so sorry, Mark, not to go long-winded on you, but that is what I'm really genuinely wondering.
It is a talk show, so that's kind of how it works. So you don't have to apologize for that. you know, you mentioned, you went through kind of a laundry list there. So I'll go to the one that's brought all the attention, the quote millionaire's tax. And again, one thing I've noted in following it has been, frankly, Governor Bob Ferguson doesn't feel like it's doing what he would like to see happen with this, which makes me continue to go, what's the realistic future of this in this session, given the amount of days that are left? And usually people who are in a majority don't necessarily sin. Now, sometimes I've watched them do it, but send bills off to almost certain vetoes that can't be overridden. So I've got to think something's going to change here in the next week or two. Now, what it is, I have no idea. But I got to think at some point something changes on this down the road.
I think so. I think I'll give you the inside baseball, which is we have every year, last day on the floor, house cutoff, we have house of origin, excuse me.
Yeah.
We have what we call the 5 o'clock bill. This is my third out of fourth year that they weren't able to deliver a 5 o'clock bill, or maybe it was two out of the last four, but it's been 50 or majority percent of the time that they can't actually give us their magic bill. I say that because, you know, on the outside, it sounds like, yeah, so what, they didn't get their bill. But on the inside, that to us shows that leadership is struggling. It's showing a very divided majority party. I can tell you that I'm friends with the most progressive in the party, and I'm friends with the most moderate in the party, the majority party. And I find it interesting, both sides are saying they don't think this bill is going to make it. So I think that's interesting. I think you've got moderates who still kind of understand business, but they're alienated from their party, and they're not being heard. And then I think you have progressives who think this doesn't go far enough, and it doesn't actually do what it's promising to do, which I find interesting. So the bill has a lot of problems. The governor, I was texting a friend yesterday who actually has been pretty involved in this, and I was telling him, I said, you know, the governor's plan is actually not terrible. I love the B&O carve-outs. I love, you know, anything under $1,000, you don't get charged sales tax. That's beautiful. But can he pull it? He made a lot of promises last year. He didn't hold up on them. He, like I told you on your show last time, he promised them to my face. It wasn't just a speech that he was giving. It was him and I having a conversation. So, you know, I pray for the governor. I pray for the majority, because I pray that they're making the right decisions, because this is what they're trying to do and accomplish, I understand, but it seems very sloppy. And I think when you talk to the majority party privately, they'll tell you this is a very sloppy proposal.
So if this if this eventually collapses, what does that mean necessarily? Does that mean though now we have to go back into that budget and start to make some decisions here that probably a lot of people on both sides don't want to make?
100%. I went and checked on some things, excuse me, that were important to me. They didn't get funded, or they didn't get very much funding, or they got nothing in status quo. They built the supplemental budget off of receiving the millionaire's tax. So I'll be upfront about that. Our budget now is over $80 billion for 2 years. And I just think it's reckless to be building a state budget off of futures that you have to go get a Supreme Court decision on, and then you need to go and possibly put it up to the people. And it seems like a heck of a process to be building it into your state budget when we're coming right back here next year and rebuilding a state budget. So, and I mean, I understand we have to do a 4-year or 6-year outlook, but they're going to have to make a lot of hard cuts, and I think that's why we got the least amount of bills off the House floor this year, and that signals to me anyway that they don't have the money to pass those bills. That's the real answer, or the real reason why they didn't pass those bills. And then secondly, I think that they're going to start realizing that their programs are not they're not sacred, and they will be cut. And I do think that is going to happen.
As we go through that, what do you foresee as likely might go away out of all this then? If we're going to see cuts, what is the most likely on the chopping block here? Or is that even right now still too difficult to determine?
Well, I mean, I'll tell you this. I mean, I think, you know, I don't want to put too much into the future, but yeah. You know, I mean, I think it comes down to a leadership issue. I think it comes down to priority issue. I know I've spoken on your show so much about how we don't prioritize schools and kids. At least it doesn't feel like it when our spending is less than 50% at 42%. It's now gone even lower. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think they're making the cuts where they should. They have, I'm not kidding you, Mark, if the regular Joe from Skamania, Klickitat County listened to the money that we're spending in Olympia and the programs we're spending money on, you'd be sick to your stomach because we could be rebuilding schools. I'll give you an example really quick. We took $4.5 million from a pension fund that had ballooned on itself. It was state money. I understand everything. But we could have done a lot of good with that money. Instead, according to most, that was basically our emergency cash, like we really need the money, break the glass bottle kind of reserve deal. And we did it. We did it a week ago. And, you know, $4.5 billion, I mean, my goodness, even if we said we'll give half to new school construction in this state, gosh, you could affect, you could 300-400 schools with that money. So it's those kind of priorities that I sit there and go, what are we really doing here? It feels like we're making people feel good about themselves, bills that make them feel good, but at the end of the day, what are we actually doing here? And I haven't seen that yet.
So you mentioned, you know, something would make Klickitat and Skamania County folks unhappy. But is there a reality, though, that in the state of Washington, what's priority in the Puget Sound and what priority in the rural parts of the state are very different? We've got to find a middle ground for these two?
Absolutely. I would say what's priority in Puget Sound is not a priority in Clark County.
We lost him. Unfortunately, we're about to talk about something interesting, which we were doing. I don't want to say that. So we'll try to get Kevin back here. All of a sudden, yeah, we just lost him. We were just talking and bang, went away. Jeez. But anyway, I'm sorry about that. That came as a bit of a shocker there. Unfortunately, they call us, which this one of the problems with that. That's why we usually, for callers, we like to go, call, we'll call, because that way we've got the number, and if something like this happens, you know, Cameron springs into action, dials the phone again, and we get back going again real quick. It's 8:26 in the morning. We were headed to the end of the segment here. The two legislatures right now, it's just... Actually, mostly we're talking about Washington legislature's divisions really are fairly normal in where they're based out of. It's nothing new for the Republicans and the Democrats, and I was guilty of it on that interview. I get tired of hearing the term the majority party and the minority party. It's Democrats, it's Republicans, okay? Let's all call each other by the names of the parties, and let's not play that game. I get frustrated with that. And I will say Kevin's not really a big offender of that. I enjoy having Kevin on the show. I get tired because I know they've decided with their political consultants, some of the folks in leadership, they say, we don't want to say the other name of the other party. Well, stop. That's playground crap. That irritates me, and it irritates, I think, of the majority of people out there. I will come back to you. The majority of people are going to non-affiliated, and I went there a long time ago for darn good reason. I want people to represent districts. I will say, again, I don't say this because he's a guest here. Kevin does as good of that as I know in the area. I mean, Kevin, you know, he has not always spoken the party line on this show. Good for him. He just, you know, I mean, he's a Republican. He leans that way. That's fine. But I've always liked the fact he doesn't. Yeah, he's gone off party script here on this show. I appreciate that. I think Jeff Helfrich on occasion has done that. Are we back? He called. Okay, well, we've got about 2 minutes here. We'll finish up the conversation. Here's what we'll do. We'll finish it up here where we were at. Kevin, all of a sudden you were giving me an answer. I'm sure it was a good answer. And then all of a sudden we heard beep, beep, beep. So trying to recall where we were here. I know what where we were at, which was I brought up that there is a reality in the state of Washington that what is considered vital and important, say, in a rural-type county like Skamania and Klickitat, and you went as far as Clark, which is fine, and what is important in the King, Pierce, and Snohomish counties are very separate, and we've got to find a way to address to bring this, to bridge these in some way. And then you were answering, and the phone company let us down.
Well, I would just say, look at cost per capita. That's really where I was going was, if you look at cost per capita in the Puget Sound, we outspend, it's vastly more. You can go into Office Financial Management to find out those numbers, and they are there. These aren't, I'm not saying anything that's, conspiracy or any of that. It's just factual. So, I just don't think, for all the technology we have in this state, all the beautiful minds we have in this state, the fact that, when we run a bill, we don't even know how many Washingtonians.
And we lost it again. Unfortunately, that's not at our end. I think we're just going to have to wrap this one up, unfortunately. Which is odd, because they do it from a studio out there in Olympia. Usually this works out very well. So, anyway, our thanks to Kevin Waters. Our apologies. We'd love to finish this conversation. I don't know why it got unhooked like that. I don't think it's at our end. Like, I'm pretty sure it's not. You can take it off the board there, Cameron. It's we're not coming back here. 8:30 in the morning, we do have other guests to get to. And we will do that. We'll do the news first, come back, talk WAGAP a bit later right after this.
Did you know about 1 in 3 people with plaque psoriasis may also develop psoriatic arthritis, which causes joint pain, stiffness, and swelling? Does this sound like you? Listen to what it sounds like to be a million miles away. Tremfya, guselkumab, taken by injection, is a prescription medicine for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who may benefit from taking injections or pills or phototherapy, and for adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Serious allergic reactions and increased risk of infections and liver problems may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection, flu-like symptoms, or if you need a vaccine. Imagine being a million miles away. Explore what's possible. Ask your doctor about Tremfya. Visit Tremfya.com or call 1-800-526-7736.
Whether you're mowing, grading, or just taking care of your property, you need the proven reliability of #1 selling Kubota compact tractors to help you get it all done right. Stop by today. Right now, bring home select Kubota equipment with 0% financing available or save up to $3,250. Now through February 28th, see us or go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
See Shepherds, 440 Riverside Drive, Hood River, your Kubota dealer.
Have you hugged an alpaca today? Hi, this is Angela. Visit Cedar Creek Alpacas and you might just get to hug Jasper, the famous alpaca. Come meet all the adorable new baby alpacas from this year. There are babies everywhere. There's a reason Cedar Creek Alpacas was voted best in the gorge in attraction, family entertainment, and gift shop. So plan your visit today and create unforgettable memories. More at CedarCreekAlpacas.com. Cedar Creek Alpacas. We're just 10 minutes off Highway 14 in Cook, Washington. The alpacas can't wait to see you.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters, on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
:32 in the morning, checking what's in the news. Hood River City Council and its roles, the Urban Renewal Agency Board approved changes to the URA's Middle Housing Incentive Program after not receiving any applications in its first year of existence. Urban Renewal Administrator Will Norris presented 3 revisions. One was to detach the program from middle housing standards and moving to simply size-based standards. Another would provide the funding incentives earlier in the development process. And a third move from a sliding scale of development fee equalization to a flat $12,500 per unit. Norris noted there was a need to make the program simpler and more predictable. A 35-year-old man has been arrested in connection with an alleged arson fire in the Lyle area last week. In a statement, Clickitat County Sheriff Bob Songer says the suspect was taken into custody after 2 days following the fire that burned down a barn. When deputies went to serve a warrant on the suspect 2 days after the fire at their property, the suspect drove a pickup toward deputies and did not obey commands to stop, eventually hitting a patrol car and letting out a female with a baby. The man resisted arrest and a struggle ensued before the suspect was taken into custody on charges including first-degree arson, first-degree reckless burning, and residential burglary. Songer said two deputies were injured in the struggle, one with a sprained wrist, the other with a compression fracture to the spine. Columbia Gorge Community College instructor Robert Wells Clark has been recognized as the 2026 Post-Secondary Professional of the Year by the Oregon Association for Career and Technical Education. The statewide award honors exceptional leadership and innovation in advancing post-secondary career and technical education. Wells Clark was selected for his outstanding contributions to program development, student success, and community partnerships throughout the Columbia Gorge region. Wells Clark was presented his award certificate, the opening of CGCC's Industrial Training and Assessment Center in the Dalles on Friday. AAA says the cost of gas in Oregon has skyrocketed due to the closure of the Olympic Pipeline. The average cost of gas in the state went up 22 cents to $3.91 a gallon, while the national average only rose 3 cents to $2.95 a gallon. BPA had shut down the pipeline for maintenance and repairs last week. AAA says wholesale prices in the Northwest shot up and consumers were hit with double-digit increases at the pumps. Marie Dodds, a spokesperson for AAA, says that the transition to summer blend fuel in California refineries also pushing the price upward. Dodds adds the higher crude prices are due to geopolitical tensions between the U.S. and Iran. Current temperatures at this time in Stevenson is 37, in the Dalles it's 40, Hood River 38, 8:34 in the morning. More on MCT right after this.
Are you a renter? Do you know that for the price of a pizza, you can purchase insurance to protect your life's possessions? Your landlord's insurance won't cover your belongings in a fire or theft. Make sure to protect yourself and your valuables. Buy renter's insurance. It covers your belongings, provides liability protection, and may pay for additional living expenses, such as hotel bills or restaurant meals, if a covered loss forces you to temporarily move out. Renter's insurance is affordable. It often costs less than $20 a month. Ask your insurance agent or company about multi-policy discounts when purchasing renter's insurance. The Division of Financial Regulation has a shopping tool to help you compare renter's insurance policies. Go to dfr.oregon.gov and type renter's insurance into the search bar. Spending that pizza money on renter's insurance will protect you when you need it the most. This message brought to you by the Oregon Division of Financial Regulation, the Oregon Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Hey, it's Zach from Del Carpino Automotive, where we specialize in keeping European rides happy. Audi, BMW, Mercedes, and even those tall Sprinter vans that look like hotels on wheels. We know them inside and out. And if you're wondering where we went, we didn't go far. We're just now 5 minutes from our old shop in our brand new location in the Upper Hood River. Same trusted crew, more space, and the same honest, family-owned service. Come see us at Del Carpino Automotive. European expertise and Columbia Gorge roots.
KIHR weather for the Gorge.
Your local forecast brought to you by Sheepfire. For all your fire protection needs and safety training, we're certified, mobile, local, and insured. 541-980-1181. 980-1181. That's Sheepfire.
Mostly sunny today. There is a chance of some rain this afternoon. High temperatures in the mid-40s. West wind at 20 miles per hour. Could gust to 35 in the lower valley.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
And we welcome you back. It is 8:37 in the morning of Mid-Columbia Today. We're joined now by Washington Gorge Action Program's Executive Director, Jennifer Pauletto, and also Associate Executive Director, I think that's the name of your position. I never can remember. Juan Reyes. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're going to start out with something because, you know, they say talk about a lot with people and they're here, but you're not going to be the executive director much longer.
Yeah, so I have put in my resignation as the executive director. I will be staying on until the end of June to help with the transition and make it as smooth as possible. The board has made a decision to open up the position to internal and external candidates. So we will go mm-hmm. through that process in the next month or two mm-hmm. In order to have someone on and ideally have mm-hmm. some overlap to be able to support the transition. And I'm confident that WAGAP will be able to continue to meet all of their goals and their mission. And we have a great team. I'm not leaving folks in the lurch.
So I feel like I do have to ask, why the decision to leave here? I mean, you've been with it for about 5 or 6 years, I think, so this, somewhere in there.
Yeah, so for me, it's just important to take care of my health and my wellness, and I don't feel like I can do both at the same time anymore. And so I've made the decision to step away and give the opportunity to the next leader at WAGAP.
So the process will start. I take, I mean, mm-hmm. obviously, it's not like you're... We've had a couple of these over the years where with different organizations where all of a sudden people just left.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that's not happening.
Definitely
here.
Not.
So I'd say, I mean, probably the goal at this point is you just keep everything plugging along. Maybe that's not the right term to use, but keep it moving.
Yeah. I mean, I'm continuing to do all of my normal tasks and make sure that the agency is set for success and working with the teams in order to do that. Just concurrently, we are making sure that we're doing an extensive search for the next executive director, whether that's an internal or external hire. We're confident that we'll have the ability to have a smooth transition, unlike, some of the other transitions that have happened in nonprofit world in the Gorge recently. So I'm trying to do it in a way that supports as much consistency and team capacity not being lost as well. So
some things going on, though, with WAGAP. Let's go to there, and that is, first of all, there's something going to be taking place on Friday. I had to think about it for a second. It is called Lunch and Launch, and this is for people who will be wanting to get their food handler's permit, because we're heading toward the time of year when the hiring is going to pick up probably at all the various food locations, and you got to have your paperwork ready, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, as we're continuing programming, Lunch and Launch is something that we had, Abby, when she was here, had helped create along with the team and also the support of SEEK, which was the goal was to get individuals their food handler's card as well as provide community resources if you wanted to start your own like food business. Mm-hmm. So we do actually have the state connecting that day to provide some like tax resource information. We have some community agencies that are coming out to talk about some resources they have available, like Underwood Conservation District talking about their lending library, Gorge Grown about their markets. The health department's going to be there providing the training for the food handlers, and the Chamber of Commerce is also going to be out there to be able to connect people with any kind of business resources. This class is completely, or workshop is completely free. We'll pay for the food handlers permits, and then there'll also be some incentives if individuals want to start their business to kind of get their feet off the ground.
Part of this, I said the food handler's permit part, but you kind of got into the about learning about vendor license information. Are you finding that a lot of people who start to think about, you know, this sort of work a little bit? I mean, we there's food trucks all over the place around here. You can stumble across them everywhere. I'm happy about that. Maybe not my waistline, but I'm happy about it from a flavor standpoint. But the point being is, there are probably people thinking, I can do this. However, they don't know all the ins and outs of it. It's not as simple as go get a trailer, go get something to cook with and cook. There's a lot more to this, isn't there?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Even in the situation we've hosted events, the health department has been amazing about walking us through the procedures and the requirements that individuals need in order to come out and just sell at these events. Mm-hmm. And I know that is a lot of the questions that we get from community members that are really trying to get financially ahead in their lives. And so this is a great option for them if that is something they want to do. Mm-hmm. And I think having those resources and connections with those agencies will hopefully help them in that process, and like you said, deciding whether it is something that will work for them or something that will work for the community, because we also want them to be successful.
So this event will handle a whole lot, a range of people, from just the people who are just thinking, I just want to get a job and want the restaurant industry, food and handler's permit, all the way up to that person who's going, you know, I think I can do this. I think I have a chance for this. And it mentions here, permit training is going to be, along with just the basics of the handler's permit, is going to be about business 101 a bit and explaining what you need to think about to do this.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's our goal. And yes, we're really excited. As of today, we have 12 people registered. And mm-hmm. so we're hoping to get at least 20. That's where we capped it. So yeah, there's still room. If people want to register, they can mm-hmm. scan the QR code. It's on our social media and our newsletter as well. But yeah, or they can just contact the office and we're happy to help them register.
Friday, 9 to 2 mm-hmm. is when this is going to take place. Pioneer Center in White Salmon. So it is there. And how can you register? I've got a QR code in front of me, and those don't go well on radio at all. I hate these things when they send them to me.
I mean, technology, right?
Yes, I know, but there's some things you can't quite go by.
If they go on our Facebook page, they can find the QR code for the flyer. We also have the flyers around town, mm-hmm. But they can also just contact the office at 509-493-2662, and we're happy to help them register as well.
So again, that's going to be on Friday. They got a few spots left, 9 to 2 for that, at the Pioneer Center in White Salmon. Also, and this relates to WAGAP as well, and this is not a big fundraiser. I mean, we've talked big dollars before with all sorts of people on this show. This is fairly modest. $1,200 is the goal this week. The Community Roots Wellness Hub is doing some fundraising. And Juan, I think you said you might be able to tell us a little bit about this as well.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for, you know, having mm-hmm. the flyer available. Yeah, so the Community Roots Wellness Hub, you know, is a collaboration between different agencies to provide behavioral health and mental health supports in White Salmon. And, you know, we have some funding to be able to, you know, get the program off the ground and start providing services out there. And we've done, you know, some paintings, some remodeling. The community has come out to help do some cleanup, and that's been all amazing. So the goal of the fundraiser really is just to kind of get those last few things that we need to make sure that the space is accessible and usable for the community and the different mm-hmm. things that are going on over there. So it's not very much, mm-hmm. but yeah, that's essentially what's helping.
Let's explain what the Community Roots Wellness Hub is. And we really haven't had a chance on this show to talk about this, really. But it opened up, I think, just a few months ago, if I remember right. It hasn't been open for very long.
October, right?
Yeah, there was a grand opening in October. This has been a project that's been ongoing since early 2025 when we received funding from Southwest Washington Accountable Communities of Health in order to prioritize behavioral and mental health services in White Salmon. As many folks know, there's very few behavioral and mental health services, especially for families or children in the White Salmon area. They have to travel, you know, across the river or to Goldendale or even further in order to get access to the care that they need. And so this was a idea and a collaboration between multiple different entities, including this Educational Service District 112, The Next Door, WAGAP, Southwest Washington Accountable Communities of Health, Kay Alton Counseling and Consulting, and Carillon Behavioral Health, along with others who have been involved in making sure that there is a physical location where families can go to not only seek services, but to seek information. If they don't know where to start in their behavioral health journey, this is an opportunity for people to walk in and say, like, I don't know what I need, but I've been trying to get my youth connected with this additional service that we're really struggling to get. And so this location is not only a physical reminder of opportunity in the community, but it's also a practical location where families can come and seek services. We also provide groups. There are parent-child interactive groups that happen weekly, as well as other like ad hoc situations that are going to be happening at that location. It's just another community location that's centralized, easily accessible. The bus is one block away if people are taking public transit. It's right next to the library and the grocery store and the post office and the health department. So if folks need to walk to get somewhere, this is a great location. And just another resource for community members and something that folks have been asking for many years. Mm-hmm. And WAGAP is happy to be part of it as a partner.
And Juan, again, for donating for this little fundraiser they've got going. Again, it's not a huge one this time. It's a small one. Similar to what we just talked about with the food handlers event, mm-hmm. Give you guys a call.
Yeah, give us a call. There are flyers around town. Right. And same – We try to make it as easy as possible with the QR code, which is, again, good to know that is not, you know, practical for radio. But
QR codes are not practical for radio.
I can start describing the dots and people can just write them down.
No. Give away. Go to WAGAP.org or something like that. Please. Braille on radio also is very difficult. I could try, but it's not very good. But anyway, so you can help out with that as well. Got a couple minutes left here. I'd be interested to know, because we have had such a odd winter for around here. We have not really been hit with a lot of winter type weather. Today it looks like it's going to be 50 out there and sunny. Demand, can we usually see a demand for services at this time of year, particularly shelter, etc.? Has this weather anomaly this winter, has it changed maybe what people have needed or looked for?
It's definitely changed that urgent need of someone who feels like they have enough tools to be able to meet their needs at, a normal temperate situation, but might be in a crisis if it goes below freezing or there's excessive precipitation, et cetera. But what our teams have been doing through the point in time count and through other outreach opportunities is to still build those connections and trust with community members so that they know where they can go if they are in search of services. Our shelters continue to be full. We still have, not enough shelter for the number of folks who are looking for it. We are still seeing, low vacancy in housing and struggle to get folks connected to rental opportunities that make sense for them or that they can afford long term. And those challenges are all still there. I would say this just additional worry that folks have in this crisis that folks go in hasn't been as extreme this winter because it has been so mild. And we have had mild winters in the past like this. 2014-15 winter was pretty mild.
We always forget about that this has happened before.
Yeah, and it doesn't happen often. And we're always prepared for those situations. We have funding to be able to put folks up in hotels. We have opportunities with our Conestoga huts that are at the Guided Path location in Bingen that are, opportunities for folks who may not be ready for shelter but do need a place to stay overnight and to be able to reset. Those are still options. We are still available, and we are working with our partners to be able to make sure that folks are still getting connected to services, because this is a time of year that folks do kind of think more about, do I need additional resources? Do I have what I need? And even though it has been a mild winter, we're still seeing folks coming in, and we still don't have enough resources to be able to provide everything that we want to be able to provide to the community members in need.
Again, for the fundraising stuff we talked about, WAGAP.org, just head over there or go to the Washington Gorge Action Program's Facebook page and you can get all the information. If you are one of those QR code people, which I'm old, I'm not, the flyers are there and you can take the picture of it, but contact their office, go to WAGAP. If you want to help, they'll make sure you get be able to do that, or sign up, actually, of course, for the lunch and launch event coming up Friday at the Pioneer Center in White Salmon. Jennifer Wan, thanks for being with us. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
8:51. We'll be back after this.
If you owe back taxes, listen carefully to rule number one. Never go up against the IRS alone. They're cracking down, freezing bank accounts, garnishing paychecks, canceling passports. Even your home or business could be at risk. But here's what they don't tell you. The IRS has powerful tax relief programs that could save you thousands if you qualify. That's why smart people call Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax resolution firm. Nobody knows these programs like the experts at Optima. Their team of tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $2 billion in tax debt for people just like you. The IRS is not stopping, so don't wait and don't take them on alone. For tax help you need, for tax help you can trust, call Optima today for a free consultation.
Call 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
It's time to go to Jack's. Jack's Body Shop and Rhino Linings of the Gorge. Jack's Body Shop and Rhino Linings of the Gorge is a family-owned auto body collision repair and paint shop that's been a part of our community since 1969. Jack's uses only top-quality products and backs their work with a lifetime warranty on craftsmanship. Jack's Body Shop and Rhino Linings of the Gorge. 621 East 2nd Street, downtown The Downs. 296-9170. Online at jacksbodyshop.net. Jack's Body Shop and Rhino Linings of the Gorge.
Voted best in the Gorge, A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air keeps your home comfortable year-round. Hi, I'm Kimberly, and whether it's heating, cooling, or plumbing, our expert team is here when you need us most. From repairs and installations to our exclusive monitoring and plumbing memberships, we help prevent problems before they start. Our customers trust us for fast service, honest advice, and quality work every time. Experience why we've earned your votes in Best of the Gorge. Check out our article in the Best of the Gorge magazine. Call A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air today. CCB number 203004. Your comfort starts here.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the Gorge's local coffee roasters, on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
.853 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. Again, our apologies on the Kevin Waters interview. I just got an email from the folks, the legislature who helped with that, and we're not sure where the problem was. It's like three or four times, I guess in the lead up to doing this, you had had him, it just hung up. Which isn't, we have not had that issue though. So we do phone interviews here quite a bit, actually, on this show. You know, we probably, we're at some point, it's more logistical how the studio's laid out. Probably, you know, switch to more using the Zoom type of stuff that we actually use for, high school sports on our coaches show during football season. You just do a lot of Zoom interviews. And what's nice about that is if you have a monitor in front of you, you actually can kind of look at the person that you're interviewing. One of the challenges to phone interviews is, you know, you pick up from facial cues and just talking when somebody is going to stop. You're far more prone in my stop. Somebody always have a take a quick breath, and I think, oh, we need to keep going here. And it turns out that person's is still trying to keep going. And it's hard to tell when you're on a phone line. But anyway, who's on the show tomorrow? Who am I talking to tomorrow? Okay, here we go. Leah Hall, Columbia Gorge Food Bank, is going to join us. The Great Gorge Melt is going to be in March. It's, I think, the third year they've done this. It started out grilled cheese sandwiches at restaurants, and it was a way to support the Columbia Gorge Food Bank. I think now it's expanded to, if it's cheese and it's melty, a number of restaurants in the Mid-Columbia are participating with the dishes available to benefit the Columbia Gorge Food Bank. And I said this yesterday, melted cheese dishes are usually good. It's hard for me really to pick out one that I would say isn't. I might lean to the quesadilla end. Others go the traditional grilled cheese sandwich. Mac and cheese certainly fits in there. But anyway, we'll talk about the Great Gorge Melt. And we'll talk about the Columbia Gorge Food Bank and some of their needs and challenges right now. Columbia Gorge Community College, not sure who, second half of the show, but it's going to be somebody from the college. Friday, Oregon State Representative Jeff Helfrich from Salem. We'll see what's going on there. I'm not excited. And we'll also talk Central Gorge Master Gardeners on Friday as well. I'm always glad to talk to Jeff. I don't want to put it that way, like it sound like that. But I think I've just reached a point after all these years of doing this show where I've just gotten frustrated, where I feel like it's the same discussion I've had for three decades with the legislatures. And I maybe just reach a certain age where you go, it all sounds the same. Do I have a break to do? I do. Thank you, Cameron. 8:56. We'll be back after this.
Did you know Skyline Health and White Salmon has its very own sports medicine doc superstar? That's right. Dr. Ryan Petering trained at OHSU, cared for professional Nike athletes, and even spent more than 15 years teaching other doctors how it's done. From sporting injuries to arthritis, he's here to help you move better, feel stronger, and keep doing the things you love. Want to live life to its fullest? step right up and visit myskylinehealth.org. Skyline Health, world-class care right here at home.
1 in 10 people age 50 and older in the U.S. have early age-related macular degeneration.
Because macular degeneration often has no early symptoms, many don't know they have it until irreversible vision loss has already occurred.
Don't miss life's most beautiful moments.
Schedule a comprehensive eye exam to protect your sight.
Macular Degeneration Research, a Bright Focus Foundation program, offers free resources and tips for healthy vision.
Go to stopamd.org to learn more.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show on Mid-Columbia's News Leaders, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR.
8:58 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. I want to remind you, if you're in the Underwood area, Underwood Community Blood Drive today, 12:30 to 5:30, Underwood Community Center, for an appointment. You can go to underwoodcommunity.org and check that out. Also, Hooter Valley High School Theater Department presents The Mousetrap by Agatha Christie, Friday and Saturday night at 7, Saturday afternoon at 2, at the HRVHS Bow Theater. Tickets are $20 for adults, $15 for students and seniors. Gorge Rebuild It Center. They've got their 2026 Reset Volunteer Day, 9 o'clock in the morning Saturday at the center on 995 Tucker Road. Food and drinks are provided. No experience is needed. And to sign up, go to the Gorge Rebuild It Facebook page. There's a few of the things going on in the area. You can go to gorgeradio.com and get our complete list. It's being added to quite a bit. There's a lot more events now coming online as we head towards springtime, which is pretty usual. The pattern is normal. That's it. I'm done. I'm out of stuff to do. Orchestra played just at the right time. And I guess I need to go get over my QR code phobia. I actually don't. I don't like using them, period. But while I yell at clouds, I'll let you go. For Cameron Eisenberg, I'm Mark Bailey. Talk to you again on Thursday.
Mid-Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bi-Coastal Media, Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 541-386-1511. If you've missed any of today's show, go online to gorgeradio.com and click on Local On Demand for our podcast version. Thank you for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.